Welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I'm joined today by two amazing guests. I have with me Andy Nelson and Shelley Brisbane. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Doing absolutely fantastic. I'm so excited to have you here. And let's start with introductions. Andy, where can people find you on the internet?
I run a movie podcast called The Next Reel, and so I'm on The Next Reel film podcast, and we have a number of different movie-related shows that we do there, and then I also am starting up this crazy new movie podcast for anyone who loves Movies by Minutes podcast. It's the Marvel Movie Minute, and we're looking at the films of the Marvel Cinematic Universe 1 minute at a time. And that's also on thenextreel.com. So they can find everything there.
Fantastic. And where can people find you personally on the internet if someone wants to say how awesome you are on Twitter?
You know, I don't use Twitter a lot. I think mostly I would say it's going to be probably Facebook, I guess. Facebook and Instagram. And I mean, I am on Twitter, and I'm Soda Creek Film at all of those places. Awesome. And I guess, you know, poke around and see which one I'm actually using most.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. All right, Shelley, what about you?
So everything goes out from brisbin.net, B-R-I-S-B-I-N.net, including my podcast Parallel over on the Relay FM network. And I am sort of a guest cohort on co-host on various other podcasts, including the Mac Accessibility Roundtable. You can find me personally on Twitter at Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-Y. And if you're interested, you can get my book about accessibility for iOS at iosaccessbook.com.
Ooh, I didn't know about the book. That's exciting.
Always glad to make news here on Friends in Your Ears.
You know, it's the little things in life, and finding out something new about my guests is, well, it's not very hard because I learn something new every single time I do this show. But we'll just start at the top of the show with something new. So that's a great way to start. And so continuing on, Andy, how did you start listening to podcasts?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I started listening to podcasts, I think, without realizing I was listening to podcasts. This was quite a while ago. I was doing freelance work, and a guy that I knew, we were just talking about music, and he said, there's this show you should listen to. It's called Coverville. And basically, this guy, Brian Ibbett, he plays cover songs, and it's all just kind of a show about cover songs. And I thought it was a fantastic idea for a show. And so I basically started tuning in, and I would listen to it, and I started downloading it all the time and listening to it everywhere I went. And it's crazy. I mean, looking at his website now, I mean, he's at over 1,200 episodes of this show. I mean,
wow.
He started it ages ago. And I think it was probably because it was before podcasting was really a word that people were using regularly. I'm not even sure if he marketed it as a podcast back when I was listening to it. But as I kind of came into it, I realized, and as I kind of started podcasting, I realized, oh, I've been listening to that as a podcast for quite a long time without ever realizing it. And so I kind of fell into it through that. And then It's just one of those funny things where I don't think I even started looking into other, quote, podcasts until I actually started podcasting, until Pete, who I do The Next Reel with, who actually was a guest on your show here,
yes,
kind of forced me into it. And I was like, what is this crazy podcasting thing?
Oh,
and yeah, I just didn't even know. And so he kind of pushed me into it. And he's like, let's do this podcast. I'm like, I don't even know what this is. It sounds like a radio show. And through all of that, I kind of fell into this thing where I was like listening to it and go, oh, well, that's what that show is that I've been listening to all this time. It's a podcast.
Oh,
it's
how
funny.
Funny. Oh, I love that. So did you like follow the link and just listen to it online, or did you go through the podcast app but didn't click that it was a podcast? Like how did you actually access it if you weren't sure
That's a good question, and I don't know if I really remember, but I think what I did was through his website, I think he had like an RSS feed for each of the episodes, and I think that I was downloading it into some app on my phone so I could basically listen to it while I drove, and then I was just listening to them each that way, but I was downloading like each episode as an individual thing, and
right.
I mean, it took me forever. I mean, I certainly haven't listened to 1,200 of his episodes. I'm certainly not caught up. But I think I had downloaded at least like 200 of his early episodes, and I was just kind of playing them. But it's like one at a time. It was just insane, the amount of work I was doing. But it was like the only thing that I knew. There wasn't another show I was listening to, so I spent an inordinate amount of time.
I wonder if it was through like if you did the RSS through like Google Reader, and so you would get like that notification, and then you could probably click to download. I don't know, but now I'm like, oh, so interesting.
Right, yeah.
I love it.
No idea. It was really funny, but it was a fun show, and I had a great time listening to it. And so, yeah, it's kind of a weird way to kind of kick off my love for podcasts without ever realizing it. But I guess maybe that's a good way to do it, because I didn't feel like there was that podcast confusion.
Right.
Like, what is this crazy podcast thing?
I love it. All right, Shelley, what about you? How did you get started listening?
So I followed tech blogs as long as there were tech blogs. And one of the ones I followed was Dave Weiner's Scripting News. And at some point in late 2004, he was talking about this new thing called podcasting, which he has variously claimed that he invented that term, or he and Adam Curry had invented that term, something like that. But anyway, I was excited about it because I had always wanted to do radio or audio in some way. And I've been a writer, a tech writer for years and years. But I had never done anything radio adjacent. And so when I heard about podcasting, I wanted to skip right ahead from the listening part to the making part. I was like, wait, do I have to listen to it? Can I just start making them now? And fortunately, Adam Curry was doing the Daily Source Code, which I didn't care about as a listening experience, but that show was all about giving you tools to teach you how to make podcasts. And he was learning as he was teaching people how to do. He would say things like, well, in the show notes, I'm going to put this in, and here's the RSS feed, and here's how to get on. iTunes didn't even exist as a podcasting thing. This was late 2004. But we were all learning together, and all these terms that people now sort of take for granted in podcasting really came from that show. And so as soon as I thought I knew enough about it, I started making really the equivalent of old scratchy 78 kind of podcast. I had a little microphone on my iPod. I'm skipping ahead for your question, I guess. But
that's
so
okay.
I listened to Adam Curry for about a month, and then I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to go. I want to do this now. And I listened to a couple of other podcasts from him that were really, really different than what I wanted to do, which I kind of liked because I didn't feel like, well, there's only this one kind of podcast. I felt like there were all sorts of ways to do it, and there was still like a lot of room for creativity. And by the way, I'll say that later on when I became a podcaster and became part of one of the early podcasting communities, I got to know Brian Ibbett. I listened to Coverville. He is one of the original nice guys of podcasting. Brian is a great guy, excellent show, and one of the people who, when you listen to his show, really sort of showed you how it could be done in a way that was both professional and also accessible. So Brian's a great guy.
Absolutely. That's so good to hear, too, because I listened to it so long, I'm like, I sure hope he's a good guy.
He was like the kind of person that a lot of podcasters, when they saw Brian, like, that's Brian Ibbett. Should I go over there and talk to him? And, you know, Brian's just a regular guy. But it was funny because he really was one of the sort of early celebrities of podcasting. And one of the reasons was that his show was great. And another reason was he was just consistent. He continuously made shows every week. And they're like an hour and a half. I think the reason I didn't listen longer, because it was an excellent show and I love music, is just because the shows were so long and I was trying to listen to so many other things. But he's just absolutely, anybody who was around podcasting in those days learned a lot from Brian and really enjoyed listening to his shows.
Well, I think that's why I fell in love with it, because I was commuting. Like I'd have very long commutes to and from work. And it was a great thing to listen to, like great music that I hadn't heard before. And so it really provided that for me. And he did always, it was funny because I always pictured him as this, like, this just, this guy who just loved music sitting in his basement, just kind of doing this thing, you know, putting this little show together.
And he would find these covers that were so far from the original, they would be in totally different genres, and then sometimes there would be mashups, and he would do these theme shows. I mean, it was just, and it was great. It was really great. And, well, I say was, it's still around. I just haven't listened in a long time.
Well, we can go right into that second question, and we can shake it up a little bit. And Shelley, feel free to continue on since you jumped right in to making podcasts.
So I wanted to do it as a technical matter because I've always been around technology. I've been a technology journalist, and so it was something I was interested in learning how to do, both in terms of making the audio and in figuring out how to make an RSS feed so that it would be picked up by a podcatcher. All these were new terms that I was learning, like, within a month of having started all of this. And so my first podcast was basically like testing, is this thing on? Am I doing it right? And then my whole next show was about how to make an RSS feed. It was ridiculous.
Nice.
And I just, and it happened to be that I did that. My first show was at December 31st, 2004, and I happened to be going to the Macworld Expo trade show like a couple of weeks later. And so I took my podcast rig such that it was, and I talked to people, and I talked about Apple products, and I didn't know what my show was. I didn't know if it was a tech show, if it was just me, you know, talking to hear myself talk. And it became really eponymous. I ended up naming it Shelley's Podcast, first of all, because I thought it was funny because I didn't have a better name for it. So I thought I'd call it Shelley's Podcast. And then I realized it was like I was going to talk about everything from tech that I was using to my life to it eventually became my family. That show went on for a really long time. And I still meet people who say, so did you guys ever finish that remodel you were doing of your house in 2005? And it's like, yeah, actually we did. but I learned how to, like, that was the thing about doing an eponymous show, was that you could experiment and you could say, I wasn't doing anything avant-garde, but I would do stuff like take a portable recorder and walk down the street from the house that was being remodeled to the house we were renting and talk to my husband about the day's construction. Or one time my back was in pain, and so I lay on my back and I did a show, and I did sound seeing tours, which was another term Adam Curry pioneered, where you would go around and just sort of record ambient sound and describe your environment. And then sometimes I just sit around and talk about technology. And with a name like Shelley's Podcast, you could get away with that.
Yeah. And I think, too, because it was podcasting hadn't really been defined yet. So you could have it be whatever you wanted to be without having to really quantify it by saying, oh, this is a tech podcast. This is a housing, interior design, whatever podcast. You just were being, which is something that's really something very special in a new genre or a new technology, whatever that comes out, is being able to kind of have that free form feel that, I mean, you said it wasn't avant-garde, but it kind of was, in the sense that, like, it was whatever you wanted it to be. Nothing was defined yet and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, and it ended up being about, I mean, and I discovered this when I started listening to other people's shows, because they developed this really interesting and cool community of podcasters, a lot of whom were, the term at the time was couple cast. So you had people who were podcasting spouses about their lives or about some particular interest that they had. And I just fell in with that group, even though I had my couple cast was, I dragged my husband in occasionally. He was not a podcaster by any means, but it got to be entertaining to drag him on the show. And he became kind of the star of the show because people loved to hear, you know, they'd call me up or they'd give me feedback on the show and they'd say, what's Frank doing? He hasn't been on in a while. And so I fell into this community of people. They were all just really great, lovely people. And we started going to podcast conferences, and all of a sudden it was like this whole geeky thing. And being part of this community was almost more important than whatever I was saying on the show. But at the same time, I was obviously getting more comfortable on the mic, and I was feeling like I could do experimental things and not be, you know, shy about it. And I eventually talked about stuff that I never anticipated talking about. There was never any sort of business plan. It was just like, you know, let's go and talk. And as I say, it evolved. And I did that show. I did about 250 episodes of that show. And at some point, I just had to stop. But I was doing other things. But I was a much better podcaster having done that and not having been felt constrained by, you know, having a format. And then also, like, the hardest part, I realize this now that I'm trying to do podcasts that are about things, the hardest part was doing it by myself, which is not a thing that a lot of people did. And that's not to pat myself on the back. It's just to say, I think that's probably why I had to stop at some point, because I realized I was just, you know, hearing myself talk a little more than maybe was necessary. But it's a really different experience than when you're trying to podcast with a group of people and actually stay on topic and things like that.
Yeah, it's easier to yell at yourself to stay on topic.
Yeah, right. Or
cut out whatever section if you start rambling, and not feel, oh, I'm sorry, whoever I'm partnering with, we're just going to, like, just remove this topic and it's not in the final or whatever. That's so, yeah. Would you ever do a podcast by yourself again?
Probably. I think what, and later on when I was doing that show, it wasn't that I had a defined format, but I had defined segments, because it helped me at some point to have a plan. And I feel like if I did it again, I would do that. I would outline it. I'd have a plan. And I mean, I do a podcast now with guests. It's just me and guests. So in some ways I'm by myself. Not that they're not a part of the show, but I kind of have to steer it and run it, which is a little different. And sometimes I'm jealous of people who have an equal co-host relationship where they can kind of rely on each other in that way. My guests are waiting for me to ask them questions. As much as I try and tell them, no, jump in, talk anytime you want to. You know, when you're the leader of the band, you still have to lead the band. So
yes, believe me, I completely and totally understand, which is part of the reason why I wanted to do this show only with other podcasters, because so many of them will do guests or at least are interacting with other people, and so they're more willing to do that jumping in. So I have it a little bit easier, at least.
Well, and it's definitely a learning curve too, because when you're in a podcast, I mean, there's an established pattern that you develop, and then when you start changing that up, whether it's introducing guests or doing a solo show or whatever, all of a sudden you're like, oh, these are new rules I have to play by now, and I have to try to figure out exactly how that works. And it certainly throws me sometimes when all of a sudden I realize, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be the one who's guiding this conversation. What's going on?
Who's driving this bus?
Right.
Oh, wait, it's me.
Right.
Yeah. So, Andy, what about you? You mentioned a little bit previous guest here pushed you into it.
Right, he did. Yes, Pete Wright over at rashpixel.fm. He and I went to college together. I think he, as he said, he outed us as being RAs together back in the day. We've been friends ever since. We were movie lovers back then. We always kind of clicked, and he started this crazy thing, this podcasting thing. And every now and then, he would tell me, "Hey, we should do this podcast." I'm like, "Oh, no, that sounds like, you know, something totally not, I'm not interested in." You know, I always was, you know, went to school for filmmaking and doing film projects was what it was all about. And this audio thing, it's like, I don't want to go into radio. That's what it sounded like. And I mean, it was years. He pushed me for years to do this. And I kept saying no, and I kept saying no. And then he finally, like, okay, just listen to a couple of these podcasts. And he gave me a couple to listen to. And I'm like, okay, it's kind of fun. And he told me to kind of search around, and he showed me how to use, I think it was just through iTunes, actually, back then, before they had their own podcasting app. And I found some movie type of podcasts to listen to. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess we could try this thing. And he's just like, all we're going to do is we're going to talk about a movie that we like, and we'll just have fun with it. I'm like, okay, fine. So he finally twisted my arm enough. And so I said, look, we'll talk about movies that we like. We'll call it Movies We Like. And that was the podcast. And we started with Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, how hard is that? You know, talk for an hour about Raiders of the Lost Ark. Sure. I can easily do that. And so we did. And then we just kept going. We kind of said, we'll do the Raiders films, and then we'll keep going from there. And we've just been doing kind of series after series from there, doing, I think we did, Being John Malkovich, and, we went through all of David Fincher's films, and like all in the first few months, I'm like, this is kind of fun. And he did all the work. All I had to do was record. So it was really easy. You know, I would just do some research on the movie, and that was it. And I had a great time. And as we kind of went on, I learned more about podcasting, and I wanted to do more with the show, and so we just played around with it, and so then we started throwing things into the mix. Like I said, what if we invite somebody from the industry to kind of join us on the show and talk about one of their favorite movies? And so we started this thing called The Speakeasy, where we would do that, and we've probably done like 15 episodes of that, just as kind of a sideshow. That's still under the Next Reel banner, but it's just another fun way to kind of do that. But that was something that I kind of pushed for, kind of like, let's see who I can find out there in the film industry who might want to actually talk about that. And so, it's just kind of a fun thing. And that was me kind of trying to do something myself, even though he was still doing all the work. I just had to find the person who would be our guest on the show. And then this Marvel thing came along, and I kind of fell in love with these movies by minutes shows. I started listening to the Star Wars Minute, which I just had so much fun. I mean, it's just insanely nerdy detail about any particular movie you might really enjoy. And I just totally fell in love with the show, and a bunch of other people started doing these movies by minutes podcasts, and they're a lot of fun. And then I kind of threw this out to Pete. I'm like, hey, we should do the Marvel movies. Because I'm insane. And I mean, it takes like a year to get through a movie, because if you're releasing an episode 5 days a week and a movie is 126 minutes long, it's going to take you like 3/4 of a year to get the episodes out. And then you got to have a hiatus and get the next one going. So the rate it's going with the Marvel releases, I'm like looking at, they're releasing 2 a year. We're going to be releasing 1 a year. It's like, I want to be 20 years from now before I'm actually talking about even Infinity War. So I don't know what I've started. But again, it's me saying, okay, I'm finally at a point where I feel like I've been learning more about this podcasting thing. I'm ready to actually start, doing some of the editing on these shows. And I'm like actually starting to kind of put myself forward more as somebody who's taking a little bit more of the reins. And so it's taken some time, because we started our show in 2011. And here I am, it's 2018, and I finally am kind of taking the reins on doing some of the more of the tech side of a show. But I find myself really enjoying it. I just love this world, and I love what people are doing with it. There's such a variety of show out there, and I love being a part of it. And I've never gone to any like podcast conventions or anything like that. The first time I really did was just a few months ago when I was up in Portland for XOXO, and there was a good contingency of podcasters there. And that was really the first time. And I'm like, gosh, I love these communities. I really want to get into it more. And so I'm just having a great time. It's been a lot of fun these last 7 years now, kind of delving into this whole world.
What's really sad about having podcasted as long as I have is that I catch myself saying, back in the day when such and such podcast conference was happening, that's when we were all really cool, and now it's all ruined. And yeah, I try to chill out on that, but
you're an original gangster.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, sort of. I sometimes allow myself to be called an OG podcaster.
I love it.
Oh, that's so much fun. So great. All right, so let's go down to the main event. Andy, what is your favorite podcast, and why do you love it so much?
I knew you're going to ask me this, and it's such a hard question to ask, because I have a lot that I would consider favorites, and it's just I have such a variety of things that I'm interested in. Whether it's like a movies by minutes show, like the Star Wars Minute, which I think is one of my favorites, I would say, or I would even say I listen to a lot of podcasts with my kids, and there are some great storytelling podcasts that I listen to with them, that are a lot of fun, and they're so well done. And so like something like 6 Minutes I could throw in there. But, I feel like the one that I'm going to throw in there, and it's just my love for film. There's actually two really great movie podcasts that I just think are just top-notch ones to always go to. The first one, which I would put at the top of my list, is The Secret History of Hollywood. I think what they're doing over there, it is Attaboy Clarence that is producing that show. It's amazing storytelling about like the history of Hollywood, and he digs in deep to some of the most amazing stories about old Hollywood. The series that I think really first caught my eye was when he did a show. And when I say show, it was like a three-part show, and each episode was like 9 hours long.
Wow.
Insanely long. But it was all about Alfred Hitchcock. And it's like storytelling, and you're hearing him kind of tell these stories as if he's writing a book, and you're hearing him talk these characters' voices and just hearing the stories going through Alfred Hitchcock's life from the beginnings all the way through when he lost his wife and just everything. I mean, I was in tears at the end of this podcast. It was so amazing. And then he did another one that was all about like Warner Brothers, the history of Warner Brothers and kind of the way that that studio evolved and changed, and paired it really interestingly with James Cagney and his story and his rise and as an actor. And so for me, I think that is probably the pinnacle of storytelling about something that I really love, which is film and Hollywood. And then I'd say a really close second would have to be You Must Remember This, which is also another really interesting storytelling podcast about the history of Hollywood that I also just have a wonderful, wonderful time listening to. That's Karina Longworth who does that one. So
when you pick stuff that's on my list, you give me more opportunity to talk about other stuff. So thanks.
I love it.
Oh, fantastic. You know, I think this might be the first time that I've had the same favorites on the same list, other than like people throw out.
Oh, I've got more. Don't worry.
Oh, no. I don't, believe me, I don't doubt that. But I think like this is the first time that people have been like, yes, this was actually on my list. Not
totally.
Oh yes, I love that too, so much as, so go ahead, Shelley.
Well, I'll just stay in the film zone because my particular film passion is old movies, classic film. So I love Secret History of Hollywood. It's super long. It's more like an audiobook than a podcast, just in terms of the length of those things.
Really,
and I like
yeah.
the Bullets and Blood one quite a bit. And the guy who does it, Adam Roach, he's apparently a chef who has now stopped being a chef because he's a full-time podcaster. So good for him.
Wow.
And awesome. The Attaboy Clarence show that he does, because I'm also a fan of old-time radio, was on my list because he weaves film reviews so that he gets you acquainted with classic films you may not know. And then he used some of the tropes of old-time radio, including some old ads, and he'll play old radio versions of film. I used to do a podcast called Hollywood on the Radio. I may get back to that at some point, which was basically Hollywood history through the lens of radio. But what he does is amazing, and he's also just a really funny guy, and he's turned his dog into a character in the show. He's just hilarious. And Attaboy Clarence is much more sort of funny. It's much shorter, whereas Secret History of Hollywood are these epics. He did Alfred Hitchcock and Bullets and Blood, and he did this whole thing on Val Lewton, the director of Cat People and all the other RKO horror films, and amazing stuff. You Must Remember This. I like a show called Nitrateville Radio, which is basically what's going on in restoration and preservation of classic film, and they interview people who are involved in that area of film preservation. And it's not about production values. It's just like about raw information in that
wow.
show. And then what's the last one? I guess those would be my. There's a couple of other film ones I listen to. I listen to the Film Noir Foundation's podcast, Noir Talk, which is occasionally they do interviews with people who've written books about film noir and even people who have some background in film noir to the extent that those folks are still alive. And then I guess since film/television, I would say Mission Log, which is the Star Trek podcast done by Ken Ray and John Champion for the Roddenberry podcast network. So they have been going through all of the Star Trek series one episode at a time. They are in the middle of Deep Space Nine right now, which is not my favorite series, and so I've sort of lost a little bit of interest. All the way through TNG, I was in the original series, I was in it, and now I'm sort of like, you know, maybe I'll come back when you get to Voyager. I don't know.
Take a little break.
Yeah. So that's the film list.
Great list.
That's awesome. And yeah, if you want to give us more.
Sure. Well, in terms of culture, there's a show called Hit Parade where this guy, he calls himself a chart analyst. And basically what he does is he analyzes the history of popular music through what was going on in the charts at a given time or from a given artist. So he'll talk about an artist's career in terms of how they interacted with the charts. So Madonna's rise and fall and rise again, and what they call the imperial period, when basically an artist could do no wrong and had as much success as possible. So some artists that I really loved but didn't know as much about, like R.E.M. or the B-52s, he did this whole thing on the Athens sound from the early 80s, and he's, like I said, Michael Jackson, Madonna, and just great, great stuff, and so information-packed. It's the nerdiest thing you'd ever want to hear. You'd think, oh, it's a music show. He's probably going to play a lot of music. Well, mostly he gives you an incredible amount of detailed sort of analysis of music charts. And then New York Times Book Review podcast, because I like to appear smarter than I am. All the books I haven't read are talked about on that show.
That's why I like to listen to Away with Words, so I can hear all the great new words that that people are saying and all the great phrases that people use, so I can try to throw those into my conversations.
I found a dictionary. What, I can't even remember the link right now, but it is through Merriam-Webster's, I think, and it basically, you enter in the year that you were born and will tell you all the words that were added to the dictionary that year. I wasted a lot of time. That was really fun that day.
That's cool. Awesome.
Especially if you hang out with like people that are in their mid-20s, it's very interesting to see what words, you know, were
very different words than older.
And then let's see. Despite the fact that I make tech podcasts and I hang out with tech podcast people, I don't really like them because they're too long. So the ones that I do like happen to be really short. macOS Ken and Clockwise are my favorites. And then finally, because my day job is in public radio, and I've always been a fan of public radio, I like a show called In the Dark, which is a public radio sort of investigative reporting project. And they do an in-depth story in multiple parts over a number of weeks. And then finally, Long Form, where they interview mostly magazine journalists or people who do some sort of long-form journalism. Sometimes it's radio, but a lot of times it's people who write for Esquire and New Yorker and Slate and places like that. And both people that are young and who are just starting their careers and people who are like legends in the biz. And so those are really cool, surprising interviews. So, oh, I'm tired now. That's a long list.
Well, there's such a variety. That's the thing that just amazes me is that, you know, it's a, you know, whether they're tech podcasts or movie shows that I listen to or true crime shows or just news shows or all these kids shows. It's just amazing how many things are out there. And I mean, I can jump around and I find myself fluctuating quite a bit, actually, as I like, I'm really into the news shows for a while. And then I'm like, okay, well, now I'm getting into the true crime shows and listening to all those. And right now, I'm currently like listening to storytelling shows. I've really kind of moved over to that, and I actually have gone back and listened to your show to catch up on some of the ones like the great Richard Widmark episode. Listening to some of those old radio shows with him, which were so much fun to listen to. But it's fun like listening to these like this rebirth of audio dramas that I've just had a great time listening to. And there's this one that I'm listening to right now, which is it's a very long one, and I usually commute with my wife, and it's called We're Alive, A Zombie Story of Survival, and I'm just having a great time listening to it, and my wife is just rolling her eyes constantly as we drive because she hates the acting in it. She's like, oh, it's just so melodramatic, and they're so, you know, it's so over the top, and I'm just like, oh, but it's so much fun. They're having a great time, and so it always cracks me up because she hates listening to that one, and she really loves listening to the ones that we listen to with the kids, you know, like... What was the one we were just listening to? It was Becoming Mother Nature. We were just on a road trip with the kids for the holiday weekend, and my son just ate that one up, and she's just like, listen to these guys. These guys know how to act so much better than your zombie one. But,
So there was a show. He's not making it, but the guy who did it around Graham Pacheco is still around. But the show was called The Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
Oh yes.
Oh my God, such a good show, and
much fun.
And again, another great nice guy. Really, I got to meet all my podcast heroes back in the day, and Grant was one of them. But I'm glad you know about that show, because I love to introduce kids to that show because it's just so amazing.
Well, you know what's fun about that show is they actually are still active with it, not just like the playing it as a podcast, but they can actually, you can still write into them, and like the kids can join the listeners club. And so I wrote in for my kids, and they each got their decoder rings, and they got autographed pictures of all the different different characters.
I didn't know that. That's
and
cool.
they got tons of stuff, and I just couldn't believe the wealth of stuff that they sent. And then I realized it was like a 10-year-old podcast or something. I'm like, wow, these guys are doing such a great job of still promoting it. It's fantastic.
They used to do live shows at podcast events, and they would bring the puppets and just, oh, it was amazing. And I don't know, I thought when I first saw it live, well, that's going to sort of spoil the magic of, the radio. But it kind of didn't, because when you see Fidget, who's an actual sock puppet, you're just like, yeah, I'm into that. That's great.
Oh, so funny.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it. All right. You all had fantastic choices, and I loved the crossover. So great how well matched my guests are once again.
Pat, you get credit for that, Kathy.
Yeah, definitely.
That I will
Kudos
take credit
to
for.
You.
It was a surprise. Like I just kind of go with a feeling, and I just knew you two would be matched up perfectly. So fantastic. So now we're down to the final bonus question.
Oh, this makes me nervous.
I know. Me too. I'm scared to death.
Deep breaths. The nice part is, audience, if you would like to submit a question that you would like my guests to answer, you can submit it on Twitter with the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's fire bonus. And today's question comes from listener Sarah. And that question is very seriously, deep breaths. Are you ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
Sure.
What is the best pasta shape?
Wow.
I know. We're asking the very deep and serious
questions. Questions like that, you could do a long form podcast of your own right there.
Right?
That is so funny. Can you call gnocchi pasta? It's kind of a pasta, right?
I think we'll have to talk to Syracuse for pasta or not, but I believe it is considered.
I know it's kind of a potato, but I think it's like a potato pasta.
Yeah. I think you would like serve it with pasta. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I love gnocchi, and it's the only pasta dish that I make, and I'm terrible at making it, but it's one of those things that I'm actively trying to work on so that I can get better at it, because I really like eating it. I think they're fun to eat. They're just like these little pasta pillows when you're eating them. I just love them. So I guess I would say that's my favorite, but I guess in terms of like an actual shape, I've always liked macaroni noodles. There's something about kind of that little kind of half circle curve that they make. But then there's also those ones that I remember, and I don't feel like I've eaten them since probably I was a kid, but they looked like a little wagon wheel. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Or almost like a Trivial Pursuit piece is actually more what it looked
like. Didn't they sell them in like packages with other interesting shapes, and they market them for kids, I think. But
they probably did. I wouldn't be surprised.
Because it feels like something Chef Boyardee kind of a deal, right?
Right. It totally feels like something that they would market just for kids because it looks fun.
Yes.
So I guess that's my answer.
Perfect answer. All right. What about you, Shelley?
So I'm going to be highly specific because there's a place in my neighborhood that does hand-thrown noodles. You can go there and you can watch them throw the noodles for it. It's an Asian fusion kind of a place. And so I'm going to be specific not only to that I want my noodles to be hand-thrown. Probably the reason I'm this specific is because my answer is boring. I like long noodles. I like rice noodles. I like hand-thrown rice noodles. I like hand-thrown rice noodles that are probably like like an angel hair kind of a thing. Maybe linguine, I don't know. But so the shape is boring, but the taste and the experience is what counts.
Well, that is a perfect answer. Both of you had the exact answers and the seriousness that I was hoping for. So thank you both so much for that and for joining me.
I want to
me.
Go eat some of those rice noodles now. That sounds they're, so it's, delicious.
It's, and it's fun to watch. And it's disappointing when you go to the restaurant and they're not actually throwing the noodles. It's like, wait, I'm going to sit here until you throw the noodles for my dinner. Don't give
do
me out of that bin.
Call, do you it's call part of ahead the experience. And say, yes. Hey, are you throwing noodles right now? Like, I
you
need
can
my
get
noodles
thrown noodles and you can get sushi. So you can sit at the sushi bar and you can have delicious sushi and you can watch them throw noodles. It's why all of a sudden it's really crowded. It used to not take so long to get to dinner.
How dare anyway. They? How dare they? Oh, well, that means at least that it's not going anywhere anytime
true.
Soon, hopefully.
They seem to be doing well, yes.
I need them to open up next to me. That sounds so good.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at friendsinears. You can find Andy is at Soda Creek Film and Shelly is at Shelly and I am at Mrs. Soup. Thank you again for listening and I hope you all have an absolutely amazing day.